Yeah. A mother mouse was talking to her child mouse, and they were walking down the street, and all of a sudden a cat came out and attacked them. And the mama cat said, "Bark!" And the cat took off. And she said to the child mouse, "See how important it is to know a foreign language?" A mom told her kids one time, "Hey, I just want to be pampered today." So they went out and bought her diapers. Amen, amen. I want to kind of go over a couple ladies this morning. One is in the natural, or she was a Mother of the Year in 2015 in Baltimore. And then I want to go over a spiritual Old Testament mom that, man, she's a fighter. So is this other one that we're going to be mentioning a little bit. But mothers that are determined, I tell you what, you don't want to mess with a mom and their child. Excuse me. It's just something that you just don't want to pick on a child and be wrong about it when their mama's around. There could be some danger happening in your life. But let's open up our Bibles first, and then we'll get going on here a little bit. To 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to read 11 through 14. Hallelujah. And this is about the Shunammite woman. Amen. And it says here in 2 Kings, out of the New King James Version, chapter 4, verse 11. "And it happened one day that he came through, and he turned into the upper room and to lay down there." Now this is here, this lady, first she started just every time Elijah would come through town, she would fix him dinner, have him and his helper Gehazi, and they would just have dinner and fellowship, and that happened for quite a while, and then she finally told her husband, "We need to prepare a room for him and have a room for him, so when he comes, he'll have a place to sleep and to stay," and she made a room for him, put a candle stand in there, and just made it up as nice as she could. And so this here is after she's had the room made, and it says here in verse 12 now, "And then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to, and she said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the armies?" She answered, "I dwell among my own people." She said, "What then is it to be done for her?" I want to tell you, and I'm going to stop right there, but in 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul's telling Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Yes. Amen. Yes. Some things we think as Christians, we don't have to use our authority. We're just going to go through Christianese real happy. But there's times, and them are the good times, you know, the really easy times, you know, but there's times you're going to have to buckle down and realize, hey, I am a Christian. And I'm tired of the devil harassing me, my family, my things. And I'm going to use the word on you. Amen. So we do fight the good fight of faith. Amen. One of the, that people say, and this don't have to be because it doesn't, stress is not from the Lord by any means. But it says one of the most stressful position in life is motherhood. I mean, I remember coming home and we had two little girls and my wife was talking kidneys or talking baby talk all day. And she was ready to talk adult when I came home. And I needed to be ready to listen to an adult. And she'd tell me everything that went on, all this, and all these things. And I thought, man, I'm so glad I get to go to work. Because I don't know if I could handle being a full-time stay-at-home dad, but I admire those who do. It's a great position. In 2015, in Baltimore, there were some riots going on. And this mom was in the doctor's office with one of her daughters. She had six kids. Five were girls, one was a boy. And the riots were going on, but she was away from that, and she was down with the doctor appointment, and she was watching on the TV in the doctor's room. And she saw her son down at the riots. And she said, "That's him." I forget what his name was now. So she said, "We're leaving here." She left. She went down there where the riots were happening. And she had to go right down the middle of them. I mean, people were throwing rocks at the police. It was just a big mess, and some explosions were taking place. It was an awful time. And all of a sudden, she saw this boy with the black sweatpants on. And then she saw the boy with the black hoodie on. And then she made eye contact. And he made eye contact with her. She said, "I had no doubt that was my son." I want to show you how she became Mother of the Year in 2015 in Baltimore.
You know, this is a classic case of keeping it real when it goes wrong. Now, a rider yesterday was stopped in his tracks by who we think is his mom. She took the old school approach to parenting, as you can see. Of course, embarrassing the heck out of her son. But she did not only stop this kid from committing the crime, but probably also from being arrested. My mother, by the way, would have done the same thing. Although, if she told me not to go out there and loot, I wouldn't have gone out there and looted, unless you went to sleep first. Now, I tweeted this out last night. Got an amazing amount of traffic. I would say about 95 to 99% agree. This is Mom of the Year, but I did have a few people complain that violence begets violence, and they took issue with the actions of this mother. So, upon further review, is this the mom?
All right. Amen. She was doing a smackdown. And, you know, you don't want to get in the way of a mother disciplining her child either. But then during, I kind of kept watching different videos and watching some things. And, you know, she said she would have done a little bit different, you know. But she said the results would have been the same. She said, "I just wanted to get my son out of that. He is not going to be a hoodlum. He is not going to be a rioter." And the police commissioner commended her. You wouldn't think that would happen in these days, you know. Smackdown. Oh, you're a good mom, but yeah. Sometimes it needs to happen to straighten somebody out. They need to realize, hey, you've got consequences for your actions. And she got quite, I mean, that went viral like in a day or two, and all that was going on. And, you know, I saw an interview with the son later when he was 16. They came out on the porch and was talking to a guy, and she said that she has him now. You know, she said he could have went to the funeral that was happening, could have took the day off for school or the viewing and all this that kind of started all the riots and stuff. But she said, "No, you don't go down there and cause trouble. That ain't happening." Good for her. I mean, she put herself in harm's way. Amen. She said, "That's my only boy." And she, man, I wouldn't want to mess with her, you know. I bet, you know, she probably took that video after she got off the internet. Now, girls, look at here. You start messing with mama. But anyway, so she was Mother of the Year in 2015 in Baltimore. And I thought it was kind of great that they showed that, because sometimes, you know, you do things for your kids you would not normally do. You'll go through things you thought you would never go through for your kids. And that's just what parents, I want to say as parents, fathers and mothers both do. Amen. And so we have to really realize, hey, we're doing this for them. And I can't think of a mother here that wouldn't be down there doing the same thing, getting their kids out of harm's way. So we just want to make you aware. Don't mess with mama. Amen. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, it says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. Just in case you thought this was all a cakewalk, you thought you might not ever, you know, once I turn my life over to Christ, everything will be easy. It's not always easy. There's persecution. But I'd rather go through persecution than wind up in hell. I'd rather go through some trials here and stretching my faith to see a victory on the other side. Amen. I'd rather climb the mountain to get over to the other side because I know God's provisions over there for me. Amen. So it takes stretching our faith sometimes. And I want to start talking to you about this Shunammite woman. And so after a little while, let me see, I got the verses here. Let's start here with 2 Kings 4, 15. And it says, and he said to her, call her. And he called her, and she stood at the door. And then he said, about this time next year, embrace your son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. She's kind of like that lady in Baltimore. Listen here. I don't want to wave and do all this here, but don't be messing with this lady that would love to have a son, but my husband's very old. And producing a son hasn't happened. Our daughter hasn't happened. I'm just saying it in Pastor Tim's terms. And so in verse 17, but the woman conceived and bore a son, and when he was appointed to them had come, of which Elisha had told her. So in about that year, amen, some things happened at the house. Glory to God. The child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. So he said to the servant, carry him to his mother. And when they had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. What a awful thing to happen. Do you imagine having your child sitting there and just pass away? You know, I want to just, because we've all had loved ones and different things pass away. I'm not making any light of that. It's horrible and awful. But some things in life happens. And I'm not saying God causes it to happen, but when life hits you hard like that, we have two choices. Are we going to stay in faith? Are we going to fall apart? Most of us in this situation would fall apart. I mean, we would just be done. But she didn't. I want to give you some four traits of a fighting mother. The Shunammite woman harnessed her emotions. She harnessed her emotions. And we're going to read it. We're going to finish the story just in a little bit. But she harnessed her emotions where she didn't allow her emotions for her just to fall apart. She grabbed herself, her emotions. Sometimes you got to grab your soul and say, hey, you ain't going to do this. You are not going to act like this. Because sometimes our mind, our soul wants to take us everywhere. I was reminded of a story that happened to me and my wife, and I hadn't mentioned this in quite a while, so a lot of you haven't heard this story, and those that you have can wake up afterwards. But we were moving from Silsbee, Texas, to Orlando, Florida. Mickey needed us, and we were moving there to help plant a church. And I told my wife before we left, let's get some CB radios. I'll have one in the truck, and you have one in the car, and we can stay connected that way. And she says, you know what? Our budget really isn't allowing us to buy these radios and have do that. So he says, we'll stick close enough together. So we said, okay. So we got past the Louisiana border, and there was I think we stopped at a Cracker Barrel, if I remember right, and had the chicken and dumplings, and you had to. But anyhow, that's what I always get, so I knew what I had. But anyhow, so we got ready to leave, and you know, you got a rental truck, and you know, it's 26 foot long or whatever long is, like the biggest one. And so you just don't get in there and just drive like you do a car. You know, she gets in the car with our youngest daughter, and I had Chelsea, the older daughter, living with me, or riding with me. And she lived with me also. And we're in this. So my wife just takes out of the driveway like she's NASCAR driver or something, and she's gone. And by the time I backed out, I don't even see her. So I have no idea where she's at. Don't have a CB to get in contact with her. So I said, well, I'm just going to get on the freeway. Surely she'll slow down and we'll catch up and everything's good. So about an hour later, I'm starting to wonder where she's at. Not knowing that she went on the wrong way going to where we were going on the freeway. She was headed back to Texas. And so we're driving and driving. It's hours. I'm see, this right here never has grown back. And my daughter was with me. She said, Dad, everything's going to be okay. She's encouraged me. She's doing all the right things. And her minister father is falling apart. I'm thinking, I don't know how I'm going to raise a child by myself. Mom, Lindsay's hurt. I don't know. Hopefully we'll have a funeral. I don't know. But I can't hardly think. I can't hardly do anything. I can barely just drive the truck. I'm looking everywhere. And she pulls along the side of the road, and I don't even see her. And so then a little while later, it's probably been 3 or 4 hours at least. And I'm thinking, how am I going to start my new life? And so we get off. I said, well, I got to get gas. I told Chelsea, well, we went to the Pensacola Revival where one time. So I'll go to that same hotel. Maybe she'll wind up there. And so we pulled off there to get gas to further our journey to get to Florida. I pull in the gas station, and about 2 minutes later, here comes my wife pulling in the gas station. She needed gas, too. She's just smiling at me. I'm thinking, how can you smile at a time like this? You were dead and buried, gone. Having to raise my oldest child all by myself. And, you know, Chelsea said, I told you we'd find them, Dad. We're so easy to fall apart. I mean, me coming, you know, speaking faith, the man of God, the one that speaks faith and tells people, you know, you got to hang in there, you got to speak the word. I couldn't even come up with a scripture. I was out of it. I, you know, I love my wife. I love my other daughter. I wanted to be with them. And we get in these situations sometimes and it's so easy to fall apart and to not be who we are in Christ Jesus. All of a sudden we turn into the old person or worse than that, we turn into somebody else that we don't even know. And this lady, this Shunammite woman, could have fallen apart, but she held her emotions. She held her. She's a tough lady. I mean, losing a child would be the hardest thing. So she held her emotions. One thing I've been saying for many years, you don't let the devil see you sweat. Of course, he saw me that night in Louisiana sweating like whatever, but anyhow, we don't give him opportunity to let him know, hey, you're winning this thing. Because it will turn around. And normally I would start speaking the word over the situation. Start speaking in tongues. Start glorifying God. Start praising Him. But I didn't. But this Shunammite woman, if I wish this story would have came in front of me. But I couldn't even think of anything. I couldn't even see her when she's alongside of the road parked waiting for me. After she turned around and went the other way for several hours. But anyway. She stayed faithful. The second thing, she stayed faithful to God's promises. Yes. She knew that God was faithful on His promises. And let me tell you what, I know she thought, if God promised me this child, He's strong enough that He can resurrect this child. Amen. Amen. Man, in those type of situations, you got to get somebody with you that will encourage you, strengthen you, give you the word. When you're falling apart, have somebody like Chelsea, but she's, it's going to be okay, Dad. I wasn't even acting like an adult. You got to be determined to win. She was determined to win. She was not going to lose her son. Elisha told Elijah, as the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. He received the double portion of Elijah's spirit. Amen. Not in that part, but that's when, you know, when Elijah was leaving. Yes. Amen. There's times that we have to be, hey, I'm sticking right with the word here. I'm sticking right with the promises of God. I don't care about the situation. I'm going forward. I'm staying straight in line. I'm not going off on the ditch this time. Yes. Amen. So I think in this year here, just like the lady in Baltimore, she qualified for Mother of the Year. Amen. And so it says in verse 20, and when they had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, please give me one of your young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back. And he said, where are you going today? It is neither new moon or Sabbath. And this is what she said. This is what's so impressive. Man, it's awesome to see people. It is well. She didn't say, your son's dead. She was a hold of her emotions. She wasn't going to speak the negative into something that she knew in her heart would turn around. She said, it is well. Then they saddled up a donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not shackle the pace for me unless I tell you. And so they departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. I don't know about you, but this is just not like around the corner. I did not look it up to see how far she was from Mount Carmel. But I'm thinking the donkey is not the fastest mode of transportation. Now, they will do a little running if you persuade them. I'm probably sure they had some train like that. But I'm thinking, the boy passed away. She took him to the prophet's quarters, laid him on his bed, had to go out to the field where her husband was at, had to tell him, it is well, give me a donkey. Give me someone to drive that donkey. She gave him specific instructions. You don't stop, you don't hinder, you don't stop to say hi to no one unless I tell you. Amen. So the last part of the 25. So it was when the man of God saw her far off that he said to his servant Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman, please run now to meet her and say to her, it is well with you. Amen. It is well with your husband. It is well with your child. He didn't really actually know what was going on yet, but that, he got that in the spirit, and he said, you go tell her this. Okay, and she answered, it is well. Now she came to the man of God at the hill, and she caught him by his feet, but Gehazi came near to her to push her away, but the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, for the Lord has hidden from me, and it is not told to me. So she did. Did I ask a son of the Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready, take my staff in your hand, and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet them. If anyone greets you, do not answer them, but lay the staff on the face of the child. One thing I found about reading the Bible is you got to follow instructions. We might say it's our instruction book for life. Amen. I don't know what laying the staff on the face of that child did, but it had a part to play. Sometimes we wonder, well, I don't know why I got to do this. Well, maybe sometimes it's just about you obeying what the Lord has said for you to do. Yeah, but I don't want to go that way home. I never go that way home. Why, Lord, would I want to go that way home? Just obey. You might find that when you start obeying the little things that the God speaks to your heart, that when something big comes along, you'll be able to say, yeah, I can do that. But when we won't even believe God to heal our little headaches sometimes, amen. When we won't even ask God before we run to the doctor, amen. Before we even pray about it, amen. Nothing wrong with doctors. But let's give God. Yes. By his stripes you were healed. Amen. Amen. Verse 30, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he rose and followed her. Now Gehazi went ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore, he went back to meet them and told them the saying, the child was not awakened. When Elijah came into the house, there was a child laying dead on the bed. He went therefore and shut the door behind the two of them, and he prayed to the Lord. And he went up and laid on the child, put his mouth to his mouth, his eyes to his eyes, his hands to his hands, and stretched himself on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house. I think a lot of us would have given up the first time. A lot of us would have said, there's nothing, you know, this... I don't know why. We don't have to know the answers sometimes when things happen. But in this case, she was hooked up with the right person. He didn't give up either. Verse 35, and he returned and walked back and forth in the house and again went up and stretched himself out on him, and the child sneezed 7 times. And the child opened up his eyes. Hallelujah. Persistence. Doing what the Lord wants you to do. A mother not giving up. A mother fighting for her child. A prophet that says, I was told to do this. I don't know why it didn't work. I'm going to walk around a little bit. And he got strength in the end. He got the word from the Lord. You go do it again. Just because something didn't work once doesn't mean it won't work the second time. When the Lord is behind it, he will tell you what to do. You will obey. Sometimes it won't. You'll get resistance on it. But you keep persevering, pushing in, going forward, and glory to God, you're going to get a God result. Yes. Amen. You're going to get an answer you've been depending on, waiting on, looking forward to. Amen. 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 So she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she spoke to her son and went out. What a story. What a mom. What a fighter. She did not lose her composure. See, when situations happen, it's time for us to get in faith, not in distress. It's time to stay in faith and not stressed out. Mom, sometimes your kids will do the craziest things. But most of the time they live through it. Amen. We have to obey the word. That lesson of driving to Florida taught me a big lesson. Don't lose it. Because when you lose it, you lose hair. So I don't know what Pastor Ricky's done, but anyway. Oh, he shaved it, he said, okay. We have to stay on God's side. And this mom here is a great example for us to look at being New Testament Christians. When it looks like it's over, it's not over. It's not over till God says it's over. It's not finished till God says it's finished. Amen. I think we should get that word down. It is well with me. Down in our spirit. It is well. This looks disastrous, but I am well. It looks like the world is coming apart around me, but I am well. And we serve a God that can put everything back together. Come out on top. I remember years ago there was a lady that came up to the office at the other building, church we were at. And she said, I just got fired. You did? And she was a very good worker, I assumed. I never saw her work, but I mean, I just assumed it. She always was at work, so I fear she's a good worker. So anyway, she said some lies were told about me. And they decided to fire me. And she's distraught. I said, you know what? It's time to get in faith about this. That's not the only job in town. God is preparing a new position for you. So we prayed. And I said, you know what? God's a vindicator. You don't have to go looking for vengeance. He'll vindicate you. And we prayed for a new job. It wasn't too much long later. She got a new job and she liked it much better. And it paid pretty close the same. And it was about, I'm just kind of guessing, I think it was like a couple of years later, her boss came to her and apologized. I'm so sorry that this was done to you. It wasn't right. You know what? When you stay in faith, you stay on God's side, He'll vindicate you and you'll get through it, and God will prepare you for a better position. Amen. But you got to trust Him to do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God is good. That's what I had for you this morning. I know it wasn't real long, but I know mothers don't want to be late for their dinner. Let's have all